Here's Skip Heitzig with a unique take on how we should look at life when it doesn't exactly go as planned.
You know what I've discovered? That messes are opportunities. See, if you have a mess and you send a messenger into the mess with a message, it can be very poignant, very powerful. The world's greatest mess is coming, and the world's greatest message will be heralded during that time.
Make the connection.
Charlie Brown once exclaimed that everything he touched turned into a disaster. And as we take a look at the state today's society is in, one might think there must be a lot of Charlie Browns walking around. Considering the messy condition of today's world, one might wonder where we can turn to for hope. Although you probably already know the answer to that. Today in The Connection, Skip Heitzig will show us that there is hope for all of us that's far bigger than any mess we might find ourselves in. Now, before we get started, I wanted to remind you of just how important your support is for this ministry. Without you, these daily teachings wouldn't be possible, and we wouldn't be able to reach out with the truth of God's Word in other parts of the world.
Here's a challenge for global missions. Mongolia. Let's check it out. Mongolia. Sparsely populated with about 3 million people, 40% Buddhist, 50% have no religion at all, and only 6% Christian. Listen to Tom Terry from Eagle TV.
We've got a team of guys we call Step by Step. 10 of these guys who are all Mongolians who go out into the countryside and show Bible movies and do evangelism and discipleship. And they still, even today, end up going to areas of the country where the name of Christ is completely unknown. I mean, you're literally starting from square one, and if we can reach those places through satellite, and those areas do have satellite capability, then we can see the ministry of the gospel expand even more than we ever imagined before.
Well, that sounds like a perfect place for Bible teaching on The Connection. And you can get involved personally with the exciting project of global evangelism, and you can even help efforts in countries like Mongolia. Become a member of the Global Connectors for just $25 a month. Your $25 a month makes a bigger impact than you might realize. Join the Global Connectors today for just $25 a month when you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org. Carpe diem for the gospel. Get involved today as a member of the Global Connectors. Call 1-800-922-1888.
And another way you can get involved with ministry is through the School of Ministry. Skip, tell us a little bit about that.
This is Skip Heitzig, and I want to let you know that the Calvary of Albuquerque School of Ministry is back in action for the 2010 school year. If you'd like preparation for ministry, or if you want to take time to get direction for Christian service, our SOM could be just for you. Applications are open to men and women at any age or stage of life. Here's where to get more information about the Calvary of Albuquerque School of Ministry.
Well, thanks, Skip, and if you'd like to register for the School of Ministry, you can do so when you call us at 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org. But do so soon. Registration ends August 6th. You might say that sin has turned us all into Charlie Brown, because it does cause pretty much everything we touch to turn into a disaster. However, there is good news for Charlie Brown and the rest of us, and we'll find out what that is in today's study. Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 24, and let's take a look at verse 14 as we join Skip Heitzig for today's study.
He who endures to the end shall be saved. We discovered what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that if you endure hardship, if you endure tribulation, that that's a means for you to save yourself, to save your soul, that you can be saved eternally by just hanging in there and enduring. It doesn't mean that. We know the Bible says you're saved only by faith through God's grace in the finished work of Jesus Christ shedding his blood on Calvary's cross. That's the only way you're saved. So it doesn't mean that. It's not speaking of that salvation. Nor does this verse mean that if you endure, if you stand up, you'll be kept from physical harm. We know that's not true because there's going to be lots of people martyred during that time of the tribulation. This simply is a general statement as if to say, though there will be lawlessness and there will be callousness, but there will also be faithfulness. He who endures to the end shall be saved. Now, here's an opinion. It's just a thought. Take it or leave it. It could be that this verse will serve as a warning to those living during that time who will be reading Matthew 24. And they're going to be reading it, and they're going to come to this verse, and it's as if to say, if you think you can be safe by renouncing, falling away from Jesus Christ, don't. The only thing for you to do is stand firm and endure. And it could be that it's written specifically for those who will read it. The reason I bring that up, because look in verse 15, which we'll look at next week, but look at the parenthesis. Whoever reads, let him understand. It's as if John knows, I got to write this down because there's coming a time people are going to read this stuff. And this will be an encouragement to them. Now, I'd like you to keep a marker here. Turn with me to the book of Revelation chapter 7. Because I want to show you how that what Jesus said is added to, fleshed out, greater understood by John in Revelation chapter 7. We're going to read about the enduring saints during the tribulation period. You turn to Revelation 7. You're introduced to a group of 144,000 Jewish people. They're introduced first because they might become the catalysts of salvation to the second group that we read about in verse 9. After these things, I looked and behold a great multitude which no one could number of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palm branches in their hands. Go down to verse 13. Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, who are these arrayed in white robes? Where'd they come from? And I said to him, sir, you know. And he said to me, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in the temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger any more, watch this, or thirst any more, nor shall the sun strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to the living fountains of water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. So obviously it's a group who has suffered greatly. They once hungered, but not anymore. They once thirsted, but not anymore. Why'd they hunger? Why'd they thirst? We can presume because they refused to take the mark of the beast, the mark of the Antichrist, which is a buy-in to a whole economic process. They didn't do that. They obviously suffered a great deal. They cried many tears during that time because the promise is now God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. So this is a suffering group. This group endured all through and to the end of the tribulation up to the second coming of Christ. Revelation chapter 20, I'll read it to you, verse 4. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus, for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, had not received his mark on their forehead or on their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. These, I believe, are those enduring saints that Jesus predicted would be during that time. He who endures to the end will be saved. There will be lawlessness, there will be callousness, but there will be faithful ones, and these are they. Okay, pause there for a moment. Let's come back from the future. Because there's a greater truth for us here this morning. And here's the truth. True faith, though it has its lapses from time to time, it always does. Even Abraham, the father of faith, had his lapses of faith, right? Even though faith wanes, has its lapses, true faith has always the quality of permanence. Permanence. You know well the promise that Paul wrote to the Philippians, Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will continue it until the day of Jesus Christ. Here's the point. You can be faithful to God because you have a faithful God who will keep you. Faith that is true faith endures to the end. There are several good examples of this throughout history. One of my favorite comes from the 2nd century AD. It's a guy who knew John the Apostle really well. It was one of his disciples. His name was Polycarp. He was the bishop, the pastor of Smyrna. I was in Smyrna a few months back. Polycarp was 86 years old. He was arrested by the Roman government. They threatened to kill him. He was brought before the proconsul, or the governor of Rome, one of them. Polycarp stood before the proconsul, who wanted to spare this old man his life. He said, look, Polycarp, just do yourself a favor, renounce Christ, and we'll let you go. This old man said, 86 years, I have trusted in Christ, and he has never, ever done me any injury. Why should I now blaspheme my king and my savior? The proconsul didn't like that answer. He threatened him and he said, I have wild beasts. Polycarp smiled and said, call for them. For why should I repent of that which is good to embrace that which is evil? Proconsul didn't like that answer either. He said, I'll burn you with fire. This old 86-year-old man, smiling, said, you threaten me with fire that burns for an hour and is extinguished when you face the coming fire of God's judgment, which is everlasting. Talk about an answer. You know, when your life is on the line, you'd think that you would soften your answer, but you might say, well, everybody's entitled to believe whatever they want. Not this guy. He just says, look, go ahead, do what you will. Well, he was 86 years old. He's thinking, I've lived a good long life, and this isn't a bad way to go. I'm not going to deny Christ. I've always loved the motto in Latin that the Marine Corps has adopted. And you'll hear soldiers, Marines say it to one another, Semper Fi, man, or Semper Fidelis, always faithful. True faith, true believers have true faith, and true faith will always endure. He who endures to the end will be saved. Now go back to Matthew 24. And we have an even more wonderful quality, condition upon the earth. There's going to be lawlessness. It'll abound. There's going to be callousness. People will grow cold toward one another. But there will be faithfulness because true believers will be the enduring ones all the way through to the end. And on top of that, there's going to be responsiveness. There's going to be a mess, but there's going to be a message preached. Verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Well, you know what? Unfortunately, verse 14 has been butchered by different groups, especially many mission organizations, who will say things like, Jesus Christ cannot come back until every person on earth hears the gospel. So we're holding him back because we haven't done the job. In fact, I've heard preachers say things like, let's hasten the day of Christ. Let's bring him back quicker by getting the gospel out. No, it doesn't mean that. Jesus Christ, first of all, is going to come back at the time appointed by the Father, not sooner, not later. As if we can schedule his coming. Jesus said only the Father knows that time. Not even the Son at that point knew it. We don't schedule the second coming of Christ. It's not up to us at all. I don't think that's what this means. I think simply this means despite deception, despite war, despite anarchy, despite persecution, despite callousness, God will still have his witness during that time. It's going to be a mess. But there's going to be a message. And you know what I've discovered? That messes are opportunities. See, if you have a mess and you send a messenger into the mess with a message, it can be very poignant, very powerful. And the world's greatest mess is coming, and the world's greatest message will be heralded during that time. You say, okay, that all sounds really flowery and good, Skip. However, if what you believe is true, that is, the rapture of the church will have occurred before this, how are people going to get saved in the tribulation period if believers are gone? Answer, God is going to save more. God is going to save more. How do I know that? Revelation 11 introduces two witnesses. Witnesses. They have a message. And not only do they have a message, but they perform miracles for the Jewish nation. Now, we don't know who the witnesses are. I can guess. I have my own theory, and it's only a theory. The Bible doesn't tell us who they are. I think it's going to be Moses and Elijah. You know why? Because they call fire down from heaven. Only one guy in the Bible did that. That was Elijah. Another one will turn water into blood. The other guy that did that was Moses. And I got to thinking, what better witnesses to the Jews could there be than Moses, the lawgiver, and Elijah, the greatest prophet? Maybe, maybe not. But these two witnesses are going to kindle something within the Jewish nation. And the result, I believe, is going to be 144,000, the Bible says, Jewish people, 12,000 from each tribe, who are saved and sealed by God for service during that time. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen a Jewish believer, but when a Jewish person comes to grips with Jesus Christ, isn't just some Gentile name. He's my Mashiach, my Messiah. Something happens. They're really on fire. If you've ever stood between the evangelical guns of a Jewish believer, it's like, whoa, look out. And listen, 12 Jewish disciples turned the world upside down 2,000 years ago. Can you imagine 144,000 of them being let loose? And I think it's those 144,000 that are greatly responsible for the great multitude of every tribe, every tongue, every nation that follows in that same chapter of people who are saved. So we know there's going to be two witnesses. We know there's going to be 144,000. And push all that aside for a minute. There's going to be something else that has never happened before, ever. It's going to happen during that tribulation period. There's going to be an angel flying through heaven. One final announcement of the gospel will be heralded all over the world to everyone alive. Never happened before. It's in Revelation chapter 14. In the sixth verse, we read, "Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, or dialect, and people." Now, with that in mind, look again at Matthew 24, verse 14. "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world." See the word world? Oikoumene is the word. It means the inhabitable globe. It's not the cosmos, That's the typical term when we think of the world in the Bible, the world system opposed to God. This is the oikoumene. This is the inhabitable globe. And then it goes on, as a witness to all nations, ethnos, every ethnic group. Everywhere around the globe, every ethnic group in every dialogue is going to hear the gospel. Okay, imagine, just imagine. You have to imagine, you won't be here. It's tribulation time. It's chaos. Suddenly you hear a noise outside. You go, well, that sounds like a big booming voice. What is that? Is that a jet flying over? You walk outside. Whoa! I think that's an angel. Yeah, I think it's an angel. And it's telling me to get right with God. I understand this angel. Somebody who speaks another language, I understand this angel. Here's the point. There's going to be a final and total evangelization of the entire known world, and every single person alive is going to hear it. And so Jesus said, this gospel will be preached in all the world to all nations. And look it, and then the end will come. That's the end of the world. That's the end of the tribulation. That's just before the millennial reign of Christ. Then the end will come. Then Jesus will return. Then God will set up his kingdom. Then Christ will rule and reign on this earth and forevermore. That'll be the end. But that's then. This is now. The end is not yet. The Bible speaks about this coming judgment. But understand, that is coming, but right now we're in a very special time of God's favor, God's goodness, God's grace. Some theologians call this the age of grace. The age of grace. You know the song we sang before our sermon this morning, "We Exalt You, O Lord," or "I Exalt You"? That praise song had a new meaning to one parent when he brought his 3-year-old daughter to church one day, and she sang the words a little bit differently, as kids often do. "We exalt thee, O Lord, we exalt thee, O Lord," she sang. Aren't you glad that's not true? Aren't you glad that we have not yet exhausted God's grace, mercy, and goodness yet? That this still is an outpouring of God's goodness and grace and favor, and he would reach out to you this morning and say, you can come and be forgiven of all the past. You can enter into my kingdom and escape all of these coming things. You can know my favor and my goodness, because the end is not yet. I have a hunch that a few have come today who have heard appeals before, and you've just said in your own heart, I'm not going to respond. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to get into that stuff. I'm here. I'll watch. I'll get involved. But I'm not going to give my life to Christ yet. You know, perhaps, that Jesus said, you are either for me or against me. If you haven't received him yet, then up to this point, you have said no to him. A day is coming when God's going to say, no more grace. Judgment comes. Oh, yeah, there's going to be wonderful outpouring during that time. It's going to be very difficult. God's grace is extended to you this morning, friend. And Jesus would say to you, whosoever will, let him come. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest.
Won't it be nice someday to finally rest and not have to worry about the mess the world is in? Well, that day is coming, and it's coming sooner than you might think. But if you truly want to find rest from the mess, you need to heed the message of Christ and come to him today, before it's too late. Now, to find out more about how you can do that, give us a call at 1-800-922-1888. Or visit us online at connectionradio.org and click on the Know God link. And that's just about all the time we have for today. But if you'd like a copy of this teaching, you can order one by calling us at 1-800-922-1888. We'd be happy to send you one on CD for just $6. Or you can place your order over the internet at connectionradio.org. Plus, if you order for the first time today, we'll also send you a free gift from Skip. It's a booklet from his lifestyle series called When Kingdoms Collide. And that free booklet is available to everyone who contacts us for the first time today. So call us at 1-800-922-1888 or write us at The Connection, P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199.
And make the connection at the foot of the cross. And study the Word of God and find the way into His love. Make the connection.
We'll continue with our study of Matthew 24 next time as Skip Heitzig shares with us a message entitled God's House Vandalized, here on The Connection, a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.